It's time for our scripture reading from Colossians 3, 1 to 4, verse 17 and verses 23 to 24. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So last week, Bernard preached from Hebrews 10 on the life of faith and how we're to endure like athletes and walk in community with one another. This week, we're kicking off a four-week series where we'll explore the integration of our faith in Christ with our work. Paul Taylor is going to kick off our series today and will help us connect the dots between our faith in Christ and with our work. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to hear from Melody Moe, Todd and Grace Kwame, and Sanjay Poonen. So Paul is formerly a pastor from PBC Palo Alto, has co-founded the Bay Area Center for Faith, Work, and Tech, and recently started a job with Transforming the Bay with Christ. The center was born from a vision to unite two essential aspects of life, faith, and work, and to spark a movement that integrates these two worlds. Starting in September, Eugene will lead a Life Together class based on material from faith, work, and tech. This class will be a six-week program for small groups working through the Bible, which explores the theme of work and faith through video teaching, discussion, questions, group activities, and individual spiritual practices. For 6 weeks, we'll survey the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation to explore the theme of work. The curriculum includes components of reflection, exploration, learning, discussing, applying, practicing, and preaching. So for this morning, please join me in welcoming Paul Taylor to share with us this morning.
Thanks, Tim, and thanks, PBC Cupertino, for having me here. It is really a joy to be here. As Tim said, I served for about 18 years at PBC Palo Alto, so I'm honored that I finally have graduated to version 2 of PBC. So thanks for having me here. I started attending PBC when I was a freshman in college, so that was just a couple years ago, and had a long history there and just love PBC, love the scriptures, and it's really fun to be here. As Tim said, I started a new job on Monday with Transforming the Bay with Christ, which is a unity movement across the Bay Area. My title there is Director of Unify, so I'm helping to connect pastors all throughout the Bay Area from Sonoma to Monterey to Vallejo and everywhere in between, so it's a really fun job. And my wife is a pastor at Peninsula Covenant Church in Redwood City. So I went from PBC to TBC, and she went from PBC to PCC. So we're very into our acronyms and only can allow for one letter to change. That's how we work. Well, I want to ask you to start to do a little exercise. As Tim said, we're thinking about our faith and our work. And by work, we mean anything it is that occupies the majority of our time. So that might be something that you're paid to do. It might be something that you do as a volunteer. It might be raising children. It might be raising grandchildren. It might be volunteering. Whatever it is. And I want to invite you just for a minute to imagine where you will be at this time tomorrow. Monday at, let's say, about 10:30 in the morning. Maybe you'll be at a job. Maybe you'll be at home. Maybe you'll be volunteering. Whatever it is that you'll be doing at that moment, I want to just invite you to put yourself there and think about what that feels like. Think about the kinds of concerns that might be going through your head, the kinds of people that you might be interacting with or just have interacted with or thinking about interacting with, the kinds of problems that you're likely to face. And what we want to be doing this morning, and I'm excited that you're kicking off a series of doing just this, is thinking about how our faith in Christ affects that moment and how you can weave the presence of Christ into what it is that you do with most of your time. As Tim said, I've co-founded the Bay Area Center for Faith, Work, and Tech because as a pastor in the Bay Area for a long time, I've just felt the burden that that kind of connection doesn't come naturally to most of us. It's very easy to separate our faith and our work. And I hope, as you'll see this morning, there are really serious consequences when we do that. I came to the Bay Area in 95 as a student at Stanford. That's where actually I knew Tim and some of you as well. And was an engineer in college and then graduated and worked in software for about 7 years before becoming a pastor. I had felt the call into ministry when I was in high school, but decided that I wanted to work first because in my naive kind of 19-year-old brain, I thought, well, I'll just work in the real world for a few years, figure out how to do it, and then become a pastor and tell everybody else how it works. So you're really fortunate that I've mastered life in the real world, and I can now instruct all of you in all the intricacies of how it works. Not really. What actually happened is that I started working, and I worked for Oracle as a product manager for many years, and quickly realized the complexities of the workplace and how challenging it is to navigate that life as a follower of Jesus, how conversations don't come easily. I can still just imagine the cubicle that I sat in for many years and the people that sat around me and how I would pray for them and think about how I could talk to people and think about how my work connected to my faith, and it was all very complicated. There's lots of different kinds of relationships, people you work for, people you work with, people on other teams, your customers, your clients. How do you relate to them within professional boundaries and yet as a Christian? And so part of what we want to do is to think really about why that is so complicated. And if you resonate with that sense, that it's just hard to figure out exactly what my faith has to do with what I do every day, be encouraged by the fact that it's not your fault. That there are a lot of cultural factors that play into why we have a hard time integrating those parts of our lives. It has to do with our culture. It has to do with way back to the Renaissance, to the Reformation. I could give you philosophical reasons and historical reasons, but we have been taught, many of us, in our culture to live separate lives. We have been taught a very hard line between the public and the private. And so as we figure out how to follow Jesus in every aspect of our life, it's like swimming upstream to try to combat and to try to reintegrate some of the things that we've been taught to separate in our lives. And what we've found in our work at Faith, Work, and Tech is the problem is that many people don't connect the dots between their faith and the work. But the bigger problem is that many of us don't actually realize it's a problem. That we find we have to actually help people to see that this is a dangerous thing before they're even motivated to try to do some work to connect those dots in their lives. Because we just live that way. It's so automatic. It's so natural for many of us to live in different spheres of our lives that even the challenge of putting those together doesn't seem like an important thing. The good news is that the scriptures are full of instructions on living an integrated life, on being whole, on bringing all the aspects of ourselves before God and following Jesus in every aspect of our lives. So we're going to look a little bit at three prayers this morning that come straight from the scriptures to try to understand how to connect those dots. But before we do that, I want to dive into the problem a little bit more specifically and try to help you think about how this might work in your life. Well, we talk about when we talk about faith and work is that many of us experience what we call disintegration. That's the sense that our lives are played out in different worlds, that we live in between the worlds of work and the world of church. And so there are these two kind of dominant things in our lives, and for many of us, church and the worshiping community and our discipleship to Jesus is a major part of our lives. And then for many of us, the work that we do is a major part of the time that we spend. And remember that when I say work, I mean broadly thinking, whatever it is that occupies the majority of your time. And so we have these two worlds in our lives, and for some of us, we feel like we are more comfortable at church. That when we come to church and when we are able to gather with other Christians, we feel like that's where we come alive. That's where our real selves are. We're finally able to be vulnerable. We're able to talk about all of ourselves. We're not limited by the workplace and various policies and relationships. And so we feel a deep sense of presence at church and with other Christians. But at work, it's kind of on the side. People who feel this way might say, well, you know, my job, it's just a job. It's something I do to pay the bills, but it doesn't really matter. It's not really that important to me. It's just, I have to have a job because I have to function in the world. And many of us might think this way. And these are people that many of you might kind of have notions of this, and you're serving in church because you love this community. You're leading as elders or deacons or small group leaders because this is where you really find your identity. And that's a beautiful thing. But we honestly believe that there is a sense of disintegration that happens when we compartmentalize aside our work. Now, others of you might feel like when you go to work, that's actually where you come alive. So you might actually be more comfortable at work, and you might be an entrepreneur, you might be a founder, you might love your job so much that that's the place that you really feel like your body, your mind, you just love it. And so that's really where your identity lies, and your work is at core of who you are. And you have a faith, you follow Jesus, you're here today, or you're watching online, you believe, and you think that your faith is important to you, but really it's your work that energizes you, that excites you. And so you tend to experience disintegration in the other direction. And so we talk about these two kinds of disintegration because it just helps us to map how it is that we feel our faith and our work are connected. So you might think about yourself, and we typically call this kind of person the church-first worker. This is somebody that really loves their church. That's where they're home. And this person we typically call the work-first believer. And you might think about where you fall on this spectrum, because it is a spectrum. And it's not a hard and fast thing that you're here, you're there, and maybe Monday you're here and Tuesday you're there, and it kind of shifts and maybe you change, but it's helpful to just think about where is it that for you find your identity, and how is it that sometimes you sacrifice one for the other? We believe that the problem with this kind of disintegration is that when you start with compartmentalization, when you start with living life in two separate spheres, the first thing that happens is that when you go to work, you're not actually able to represent Christ. Because if work is in a different sphere than your faith, then it becomes really hard to honestly represent who Christ is at work. And you're, many of us are kind of aware of that, and so we find ways to do it, but it feels awkward and unnatural, and we end up either being too quiet or too loud, and there's all these things we do, and so it's a very difficult thing to embody Christ at work. And the second problem that happens is what we call ill-informed influence. And that is that in our jobs, in the decisions we're making, in the actual work we do, we're not able to listen to the Spirit. We're not able to ask, well, how would Christ have me design this product or teach this student or litigate this case or bake this food or take care of these customers? We're not able to kind of be led by the Spirit in our jobs because our faith is off to the side. And the truth is that many of people in the Bay Area have jobs of enormous influence We are literally changing the world faster than the world has ever changed before. And so if we fail to bring our faith into the places where those decisions are being made, then God's will and his character and the principles of the kingdom don't have the opportunity to be expressed in those decisions. So that's what we talk about when we think about disintegration. And our hope then is to find what we call vocational reintegration, that we could live as a single whole embodied by the Spirit, and that our work lives and our church lives and our faith and our family and our school, and you can add in all the other spheres of our lives, are all within that experience. And I believe deeply this is what God would have for us, that this is a key part in the journey of discipleship. This is why Jesus says this. He's quoting, of course, the Old Testament scriptures when he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Notice that Jesus identifies that we have different aspects of ourselves. He plays off the quote from Deuteronomy 6 when he says this. And he says, those things ought to all be focused together on loving the Lord. And so we might think for ourselves about the different aspects of our lives and how we might unite them in one approach towards Christ. That's the goal this morning. And I want to offer you three prayers of integration to do this. Three simple prayers that you could take, and we're going to suggest that you do these tomorrow morning and that you bring these prayers into your workplace as a way of following Jesus every day of the week. These prayers come straight from scriptures, and they're going to kind of move in concentric circles, starting with you, going to the work that you're doing, and then finally your workplace and the community of the people you work with. So let's begin with Colossians 3:23. This has already been read, so thanks to Lucinda for reading this. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Now this is really key. I love this passage, and I love that Lucinda read a few verses later where it says, "It is the Lord Christ that you are serving." See, I think many of us hear this scripture, and what we think the apostle is saying is, pretend at work like Jesus is your boss, and work as if Jesus were your boss. But notice that's not what the scriptures say. It ends with, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is not an exercise in pretend to be like, hey, you really should work hard because you want to please your boss, but your boss might not be nice, but why don't you imagine that Jesus is your boss? And that'll make your job a lot easier. That's not what's going on at all. The apostle is redirecting to say that your work, what you do Monday to Friday, you are actually doing that for Christ. That is a part of your discipleship to Jesus. And where that becomes really important is that your work, the stuff you're doing, is actually a relationship, a way of expressing the relationship between you and Jesus, that you are serving him in the code you're writing, in the products you're building, in the students you're teaching, whatever it is you're doing, in the grandchildren you're raising or watching. Jesus is there. He's there with you. He's there guiding you. He's the one that has called you to that. That is the way that you express your calling in the world. And he can be present with you in that. Now, the truth is, there are a lot of different kinds of relationships in the workplace. There are relationships above you. Everybody has a boss. There are relationships below you. People that work for you or people that have a lower position than you. There are your peers. There are people in kind of adjacent groups or organizations or industries. And sometimes we can really feel torn by all those different directions. How do we relate in all those different people? What I love about this verse is it unites all of those relationships under the Lordship of Christ. That Christ is the primary relationship with you at work. And so the prayer that I want to offer you is simply to pray, be with me here. Be with me here. Now you can go to work, and you can just say a simple prayer, Christ, be with me here. Now, some of you, I know, from being in a Bible church, we like to say, well, actually, Jesus is already there, so you shouldn't ask him to be there. That's true. I know that's true. And yet the scriptures teach us that we can invite his presence even though he's already there. And that something happens within us as we open ourselves up to the presence of Christ. Be with me here. One of the exercises we sometimes have people do is just set a timer for like noon or 11 a.m. and just have an alarm go off at work and take 30 seconds and pause and invite the presence of Christ in that moment. You will be shocked at how 30 seconds in the middle of your day can transform how you think about and how you function for all of that time. As I was thinking about this prayer, it made me think of the prayer of St. Patrick, who has this long prayer, but there's part of it that's really beautiful, and I want to read this and think about this. Again, take yourself back to tomorrow morning. We're going to close with this as the benediction as well, but I want to invite you to think about this prayer in the context of your workplace. St. Patrick says, he prays, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, you're probably not doing that at work, but Christ when I sit, Christ when I stand, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. As you pray, Christ, be with me here in your work, imagine how that changes the way you relate to people and the way you make decisions. That's the first prayer, be with me here. Second prayer, then, has to do not just with our experience of work, but the actual work that we're doing. This is a prayer from the Psalms, and so Psalm 90 talks a lot about the efforts of our hands, and this is what the psalmist says. It says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is a very overlooked prayer because what this prayer means is that the stuff you do with your hands or your mind or whatever it is that you use at work, that stuff, the work of your hands, is something that God can take and make permanent. Think about that for a moment. Now, this word for establish, this is the same word that is used when God speaks to King David and says, I'm going to establish your kingdom for a few years. Isn't that what he says to David? No, he says, I'm going to establish your kingdom forever. And we know, of course, that Christ came to carry on that kingdom, and that kingdom will last into eternity. That's the weight of this word, establish. And so the psalmist here prays, God, take the work of my hands and establish it. Make it last. Make it matter. Now, as a pastor, sometimes I'll have people come up to me and they'll say, man, it must be so nice to know that your work matters, that the stuff you do has eternal value. That just must be great. And I say, yeah, I just sit all day basking in the eternality of my efforts, and it is such a wonderful way to live. That's not true. In fact, there's a lot of mundane work that everybody does. But what's even more true is that all of our work matters. All of our work matters to God. And this might be a little bit mind-blowing, but the work that you're doing, no matter what it is, has eternal value. There's a lot of reasons for that. We have a whole module in our curriculum where we talk deeply about how our work affects eternity, but the scriptures are very clear that the work of our hands can actually last into eternity, no matter what it is that you're doing. And that is exciting, that even the mundane things you're doing, clearing your email inbox or scheduling things or debugging something, even those little things that seem like they just don't matter at all, those things can last into eternity. Establish the work of our hands. That's the prayer. And so the prayer I want to offer you is to say that prayer, establish the work of my hands. That you might go to work and first you might say, be with me here, Christ. Be with me so that I am aware and living in your presence. But then second, the actual stuff I'm doing, would you take my effort and establish it? Would you sanctify it? Would you purify it? Would you make it last into eternity? Here's just a snippet of a little biblical thing that I find fascinating. When you get to Revelation 21 and 22, you see the new heavens and the new earth. And if you think about the ancient world, there were two major institutions. There was the temple and there was the workplace. There was work and there was faith. But in the New Jerusalem, what isn't there? The temple. There's no temple in the New Jerusalem because God's presence fills it. But what is there? The gates. And you hear about the kings bringing their riches into the new city for trade, for commerce. So in the New Jerusalem, there is no worship because worship is everywhere, but there is still work. It's a really fascinating study. We have more on that. But our work actually carries into eternity. And if you can't wait for Jesus to return because you get to quit your job, I'm really sorry to tell you. Actually, I'm really happy to tell you, there will be work in eternity. It just won't be annoying like it is here. So that's the good news. Establish the work of my hands. So we started with kind of our experience of living and working in the presence of Christ and then the actual work we do. But then the third thing I want to say is that the people and the community you're around, you have an opportunity to influence them with the presence of Christ. This is one of the craziest verses in the Bible. You probably have heard it many times, but let me read it and explain it to you. It's Jeremiah 27. He says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." It's a really nice verse. It's the kind of verse you crochet on a pillow and it sounds really nice. But think about the historical context of this verse. See, Jeremiah is writing to people who have been forcibly relocated from their homes by the Babylonian army. And the Babylonian army, before they relocated the survivors, killed a lot of people. They were known to do horrible things to women and children in that age. And they were violent and evil and just generally unpleasant. So imagine you're living in Jerusalem and the army comes and they kill half your family and do other terrible things to some of them. And then they force you to move, put you in a ghetto in their city. And then you get a letter from God and God says, "Hey, what I want you to do is pray for those people. And what I want you to realize is that your welfare, that you will be okay when they are okay." That word welfare is actually the Hebrew word shalom, which if you know anything about the Hebrew word shalom, it's this, what I call a dense word that has this rich, deep meaning. And God says, those people that killed your family, burned down your temple, and moved you into a ghetto in their foreign city, when they experience shalom, you will experience shalom. That's really offensive. That is really challenging. That Jeremiah, speaking for God, would say that that is their call in their place. Now, hopefully, your workplaces are not as bad as living in a ghetto in Babylon. But I know for a fact that your workplaces are places of injustice. I know that for a fact because I know that the world is broken. And I know that we live in a world of sin. And that whenever people gather and whenever they form any kind of institution or any kind of organization, we act unjustly towards each other. We hurt each other. We sin against each other. We develop systems that prioritize some people over others. And so when you go into your workplace, you are going as an exile into a place where there is injustice. And if we understand God's calling for us, then we realize that when we do that, we are not to go there and just protect ourselves and huddle up and try not to get dirty from all the injustice that's around us. We go there as a representative, and we pray and we seek their shalom so that we have shalom. It's a really challenging thing to do because we are the victims of injustice a lot of the times. And yet the call is there that we are to go with Christ to see his presence mediate from us and make for healthier relationships, make for conflict to be resolved, make for people whose voices never get listened to lift them up, to challenge the people that whose power sometimes gets abused. That's our role as we represent Christ in the workplace. And so the prayer here is that we might bring shalom to the workplace. Bring shalom to my workplace. Now I know the temptation is to protect yourself. The temptation is to try not to get stained by all those things. In fact, just this week, I had a friend text me and say, who lives out of the state, and this person said, hey, I heard about this AB 495, and I heard about some pastors that are encouraging people to move out of California to protect themselves from this terrible government policy, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought of Jeremiah 29:7. And I thought, whatever the policies are that we live among, all the more reason for us to be here to represent Christ, whether it's just or unjust or whatever you think politically, you're in this room today. God has called you here to this place on earth at this time. And our role as followers of Jesus is to bring shalom wherever it is that he has placed us. So what does that look like? It looks like elevating people, looks like challenging people, looks like workplace policies. There are so many things that happen in our workplace every day that are ways that our world is broken. So many opportunities for us to represent Christ through the actual work, through relationships, through systems. And when we see that vision, it can completely change how we understand and how we get excited for what it is that God has called us to do Monday to Friday. So those are a couple of prayers. We started off talking about being with me here, inviting Christ's presence to be in us and with us as we're working. And we talked about how the actual work we're doing is something that God can use permanently, that can have an eternal impact. So the prayer there is to establish the work of my hands. And finally, to recognize that our presence where God has placed us is to be what we call an agent of shalom, to bring shalom to my workplace, so that in the shalom of the people around me, I might find my shalom. That's God's call. And I was thinking on the way over here, boy, it'd be really great to have like a cool acronym for these prayers. But I didn't come up with one, so sorry. But, you know, B-E-B, I don't know, maybe one of you, or we can throw it into ChatGPT, I'll bet they could find a better acronym. But be with me here, establish the work of my hands, and bring shalom. I want to challenge you and invite you to pray those prayers tomorrow morning, to pray them this week, and just see what God does. You know, maybe it changes nothing and you forget about this and you move on with your life and that's fine. But I'll bet that God might use those prayers in your life to change the way you understand your work, to change the way that you operate in this world, to change the way that you experience Christ. One of the things we love to see is that actually when our faith affects our work, we can see how our work affects our faith. And we can see how the relationships and the challenges that we actually grow in our faith because we recognize what God is doing in the workplace. So we've talked about this at the beginning. This is that sense of vocational reintegration. This is what these prayers can help us move towards. And this is not I heard one sermon or even a four-week sermon series and now I'm an expert in this. This is a process. This is discipleship. This is following Jesus. This is stumbling and challenging and praying with people to live this out in practice. But to have that sense of integrated wholeness that all the parts of our lives are connected to. And then when that happens, we saw the problem with disintegration. We say that when we live integrated lives, what can happen then is that we do have this vibrant witness for Christ. What starts with integration means that if Christ is with you in the workplace, you are representing Christ every minute. Everything you do is showing him, whether it's small interactions or big interactions or decisions or actually talking about him, all of that becomes a living representation of who Christ is. And then the actual decisions you're making can be informed by the Spirit, that you can be building products and companies and interactions and organizations that have kingdom principles behind them to work for the good of the world and the good of the people that we work among, the shalom of that community. So be with me, establish my work, bring shalom, and let's see what God does. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And we're part of this organization where we really believe that there is something happening in this space. You know, you are not the only church doing a series on this. I preached a couple weeks ago at Palo Alto Vineyard, who has a Faith and Work series. I know Westgate recently finished one. There's churches all around the Bay Area that are catching a new vision for what it could look like. And I really believe that we're at a unique time in the history of the Bay Area where the changes happening here are affecting the world. And as Christians come alive to the possibilities, I think God is doing something new. And I'd be excited for you all to be a part of it and just to see what it is that God does in us and through us. So let me pray for us and let me pray for you. Let me pray a prayer of blessing and commissioning for you as you leave from here and go into whatever the rest of your lives hold. Father God, thank you for these powerful prayers from the scriptures about what it looks like to live integrated lives. I want to pray for the men and the women in this room and watching online. I want to pray for your Spirit. I want to pray for the particular places that you've sent them, the workplaces, the families, the organizations. I want to pray that you would go with them, that they would sense your presence. I want to pray for their actual work, that you would establish the work of their hands, that you would make it last, that you would make it permanent, you would sanctify it. And I want to pray for the communities, for the teams, for the companies, for the industries that they work among, that you would make them agents of shalom wherever it is that they are, that you would work in them and through them to bring your presence there, to make it a place of justice and healing and redemption. God, thank you for giving us this calling. Thank you for who Christ is and how he makes everything new, starting with us and moving out into the world. And thank you that we get the privilege of participating in your work in this way. Go with us in the name of your Spirit, power of your Son. Amen. To send you out, I want to offer the prayer of St. Patrick again and invite you to hear this in the context of what you do Monday to Friday. St. Patrick prays, Christ be with me, Christ be before me, Christ you are behind me, Christ be in me, Christ you are beneath me, Christ you are above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit, Christ when I stand, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Go in peace. Amen.